Have your Bibles. I will try to speak slower and louder. I've been told I need to do that more. So if I somehow begin to trail off a little, do this. Okay. I'll get the message. Matthew chapter 9, if you'll turn there. And while you're turning there, I want to wish all of our moms a happy Mother's Day. In some parts of the world, it's Happy Birthing Person Day, but that doesn't work when it comes to the Bible. And we all have a mother if we're here. And, you know, our life is a vapor. Someone carried you around for 9 months of that vaporous life and didn't have to, according to our culture, but did. Her whole life changed after that. And she was tasked with taking care of you, watching you, clothing you, feeding you. And it's just, we don't need the culture to tell us to honor our mothers and fathers. God's already told us to do that. 24/7, 365. So we do that all the time. And to honor your mom, as Paul would say in 1 Timothy 5, you know, to not do that, you're worse than an infidel. If you can't reciprocate and show love and support, honor and respect towards someone who, you know, used that part of their vaporous life for you, you got a problem. Seriously. Forget about loving your enemies. You can't even love somebody who took care of you like that. So we do want to thank the Lord for the moms that are in our midst, and the moms that have gone before us. We remember them and their good works. As it says in Proverbs, you know, 31, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So I want to say that by way of introduction. Don't want to forget the moms. So, but our message is going to be in Matthew chapter 9. You have your Bibles, we're turned there. Jesus in the midst, he's healing people and he's answering questions. There's a question that arises in verse 11 about the Pharisees and why does your teacher is eating with the tax gatherers and sinners? He had just called Matthew from the tax gatherers table and they're at Matthew's house and they're eating, and these Pharisees are seeing this, and it's like he's with this motley sort of people. And they have questions about that. I mean, you're a holy man. Holy man don't traffic with sinners. And of course, his answer is, well, physicians traffic with sick people, right? And he says, you know, who else should they traffic with, basically? And then there's another question that arises in verse 14. And our text is going to be from verse 14 through 17 this morning. Then the disciples of John. Now, these aren't the Pharisees. These are disciples of John. These are good guys. Okay. John the Baptist. They came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast and your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. Another illustration, nor do men put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wineskins burst and the wine pours out and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins and both are preserved. So here is the disciples of Jesus Christ. I don't think they're in Matthew's home here. I think they've kind of gone from here. But nevertheless, they come and they have questions. They're fasting. They're disciples of John. Their leader is in prison. We find that in two more chapters in Matthew chapter 11. And John's in prison. And not only that, he's struggling with whether Jesus Christ is the one that is the Messiah. And he asks the question. He sends his disciples ahead to ask that question. And so at this low point in John's life, Jesus gives this glowing review of John in Matthew 11. But at this point here in chapter 9, his disciples are beholding and looking and observing what Jesus' disciples are doing, and they're not acting like us. We're fasting. I mean, we're focused. We're serious, as Jesus says in verse 15, mourning. The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn when the attendants of the bridegroom is with the groom, can they? This is a joyous occasion. And so what he's doing is he's showing a difference between John and himself. And he's telling the disciples of John. He says, let me tell you why they're not fasting. It's not the time. This is why they're not fasting, because it's not the time. When Jesus is with us, it's not the time to mourn. It's the time to celebrate. That's why the example here in verse 15 of attendance with the groom. Something celebratory is on the horizon here. Someone's getting married. It's a joyous occasion. You bring out the food and the wine and the drink and things of this sort. And there's song and dance. You don't fast during a wedding. You don't serve just, you know, simple bread and wine at a wedding. It's an occasion. You want to mark it as such with gaiety, livelihood, things of that sort. Okay, that makes sense. But the illustration Jesus gives here is to answer the question, why do we, and notice how he puts the Pharisees in there, because the Pharisees usually fasted twice a week, usually on Mondays and Thursdays, if you want to look at it. And you can read it in Luke chapter 18 with the publican and the sinner, the Pharisee and the sinner in the temple. And he tells him, he says, I'm a pretty good guy. I fast twice a week and I give tithes and things of this sort. So we know that this was a regular occasion for them. But Jesus comes in and says, this is why they don't fast. In other words, there's something greater than John here. It's me. When I'm with my disciples, they don't fast. But there will come a time when I'm taken away from them. The bridegroom is taken away at his crucifixion. Then they'll fast. When you don't have Christ, Christ's presence isn't among you. That's when you fast, you mourn, you deprive yourself. You practice the three Beatitudes that Christ talks about, being poor in spirit, mournful, and hungry and thirsty for righteousness. That's when you do those things. But then he goes into two other illustrations in 16 and 17. And what does that have to do with anything? He talks about this cloth that you got this old overalls or something, and they're kind of old. I got to put a patch on this thing. I got a hole in my knee here. Of course, that's probably the style now, you know, the more holes and everything, the better. But you're going to patch those things up, and you put this brand new patch on an old garment. You put it in the wash machine, and you got all kind of ripping and roaring that goes on with the fabric of the new versus the old. And you make both worse, because the patch then becomes useless. It rinses and tears from the old cloth. And he brings this illustration out, and then he brings a similar one out with the wineskins, new wine into old wineskins. What's the purpose of those two illustrations? And how does that answer the question in verse 14? Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? So if verse 15 answers the question, because it's not the right time, verse 16 and 17 answer the question because it's not the right place. There's a time and a place, and it's not the right time. I'm with them. That's why they're not fasting in verse 15. And now it's not the right place in verse 16 and 17, because something new has taken place and is taking place now that's never going to be able to be attached to the old. God is not in the renovation business. He's not seeking to patch up what is old. He doesn't refresh. He doesn't repair. He doesn't retread, remodel, rehabilitate, recondition, revamp, restore, and rejuvenate. Let me tell you what he does. He replaces. That's what the whole idea of a new covenant, a new priesthood, a new law. We talked about some on Wednesday nights. We're kind of going through that. When he comes on the scene here, I'm not here to patch anything up with a garment. I'm not here to take new wine and put into old wineskins. So the sermon today is going to be very simple. It's going to cut itself right in half. On one hand, God's not in the refurbishing business. We'll talk about that. But he's also, on the second half, he's not in the redesign business. Now, let me see if I can give you an illustration of this. Pretend you've got a 1989 Chevy Impala. And the thing's got more rust spots on it than it has good spots on it. And you bring it in to the dealer or the automotive guy, and he's going to repair it because it smokes. And it's got all kinds of problems with it. It's got all kinds of issues with it. Or if you want to, you'd like to, you can say, I've got a 75 Gremlin, whatever you want to say, or Ford Pinto, or what are those cars that people looked at and say, why in the world did people buy that thing? But you got one of those, and you attempt to drive one of those, hopefully with part from the public around you, threats to there, but you bring it into the dealership, or you bring it into this, you know, place that fixes cars, and they go in there, and they look, and they say, okay, bring it on in. And when you get out, or they call you and they say, it's ready. And you go to pick up your car. the guy comes out and says, because you're looking around for your car, and he says, I've got a 2022 six-cylinder platinum special edition Chevy Impala. Here's your car. And he gives you the keys. And you're looking and say, wait, my car is white. This car is white. Six-cylinder. But wait, this is a 2022. Mm-hmm. Wait, I thought you're supposed to repair the engine and you're supposed to change out the valves and things. Didn't you do that? No, we don't do that here. You don't repair cars here? No, we give free ones away. That's a replacement business. And then you'd come there and you'd say, well, I want my old car back because I, you know, I like looking for change in between the seat covers. No, you would take the 2022 and you'd say, wow, now that's a deal. Now, how much do I owe you for the new 2022? It's free. Now, we talk about old covenant and new covenant. God doesn't patch up stuff in the old and say, okay, I got your gremlin ready to run, okay? I think she's got another maybe 1,000, 10,000 yards left on it, you know, maybe for you to drive. He doesn't do that. He's not in the refurbishing business. In Romans 8, verse 13, it talks about how the old covenant is obsolete and is ready to disappear because of a new covenant. Now, remember, the writer of Hebrews is trying to convince these people not to go back to their 89 or their 75 gremlin. They were going back to that, thinking that's the way to do this. So he's not in the refurbishing business, and he gives us a new covenant, it says in Hebrews chapter 8. As he says in Hebrews 7, we looked at Wednesday night, there's also this new priesthood. I don't have to approach God through the Levitical priesthood. I don't have to approach God through a Roman Catholic priest. I'm a priest, it says in 1 Peter 2. We're all part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I can come directly, boldly before the throne of grace, because that's part and parcel of what it means to have a 2022 new covenant, a 2022 new priest of the order of Melchizedek, who doesn't get replaced every other decade or so because the other high priest dies off. It's an indestructible life. You want to have an order of Melchizedek? You want to be qualified for that? Hope you have an indestructible life. That's the qualifications for it. And only one person has that, Jesus Christ. He also talks about how in 2 Peter 3, he also uses this in Isaiah 66. He talks about there's a new heavens and a new earth. He talks about how there's a new heavens and a new earth coming, but he talks about how there's one now. How is there a new heavens and a new earth now? I didn't see any kind of cataclysmic, you know, type of event took place, and all of a sudden I see all these angels everywhere around. It's a new heavens and a new earth spiritually. When you approach God, it's a totally different foundation now. God's in the replacement business. He doesn't refurbish. And something else that he changes and he replaces is you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, all old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. What did he say before that? You're a new creature. We are new creatures, not retreads. New creatures. Now, let me tell you the difference between your religion and what it means to be a Christian. The reason why you struggle with sin is you keep trying to retread. God isn't in the retread business. You keep looking for patches at AA meetings. You go to spiritual religious hucksters looking for 5 points in an application to be able to make something happen in your life. Well, if you only do this, then God can do that. God's waiting on you. Holy Spirit can't do something unless you do this. All of that is refurbishing nonsense. God is in the replacing business. That's what it means to be under grace when it comes to God. And so trying to get a hold of that, that, you know, as he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, he says, old things have passed away. He also says in Ezekiel, the promise, where he says in verse 26, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, real heart. So if he gives the new, he removes the old. So let's go back to our illustration again with the car. Okay, you get to the business where, you know, you brought your old car in, and the 2022 comes down, he gives you the keys. And you say, hey, where's the keys to my old car? The guy's going to say, why you want that? You can't have both cars. You don't have an old nature and a new nature. You have a 2022. And that's what you drive. Now, if you're going to keep going back to that old car, like it says in the book of Hebrews, and practice that kind of Judaism and driving that thing, well, I just got so many memories of it and all this. Paul comes and says, you forget what lies behind. You forget what you used to drive. And you drive looking ahead in the 2022. You can't do both. You don't own two pink slips of cars. You either own the 2022 or you're going to go back and you're going to fall back, as it says in the book of Hebrews, and go back into your religious ways, the elementary principles of the world that the Colossians were struggling with, or the Galatians were struggling with. God does not put patches on new garments. Now, in Acts 15, they struggled with this in the early church. This was a big issue for them. In Acts 15, remember, this was the council at Jerusalem. You had some people come down, it says in verse 1, and some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Ooh. But when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. And they kept rising up in verse 5 and saying, it's necessary to circumcise them to direct them to observe the law of Moses. They're preaching a gospel of retread. If you're going to be right with God, and you're going to walk with God, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to let the retread go. Let the language of retread go. Quit bringing up the past with God. There's a passage, I think it's in Ezekiel 11, where he talks about the same thing he says in Ezekiel 26. He makes the statement. He says, I think it's in 11. Let me check real quick. He says, and I will give them one heart and shall put a new spirit within them. And I shall take the heart of stone out of the flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and do them. I think it's in Isaiah he talks about, and he says, and they will bring this to their memory no more. You're going to forget what lies behind. You can't keep thinking about the old jalopy, the old gremlin. You're going to have to drive the new car. You have a new life. God's in the replacing business. So when you ask, if you have a sin issue, a sin problem, and you're asking for God to help you fight and overcome sin, or maybe you're not a Christian, you're having the same prayers we all have. Lord, I need what's new. I'm somehow going back to trying to put a patch on something. I just love my old wineskin. I think it can hold the new wine. It can't hold it. It's not meant for it. Quit trying to pattern your rehabilitation, because he doesn't rehab us. He gives us a rebirth, but that's something brand new. You're risen from the dead. You're brand new. When you think about your first birth, I mean, you come on the scene, here you are. What got you here? What formula did you practice to get you here? What three steps did you do, or 12 steps that brought you into existence? None of it. God did it. And if he did that, he will do always the work that he needs to do to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. It's a sovereign work. It's not going to be this patchwork that he does, or as you think he does. He doesn't take a drunk and make him a reformed drunk. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, such were some of you, not are some of you, that's going through a rehab process. Yeah, but I find myself repenting every day. It feels like I'm practicing the retread business. No. You are a new person. You have a new man. That inner man of you that was spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, it says in Ephesians 2, has been risen from the dead. And now you are made brand spanking new with the Holy Spirit living within you. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, you are a holy temple unto the Lord. What were you before? An unholy temple? There was no temple. He caused himself to, as a down payment, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, to come into you and to possess you. You're royal. You're a royal child now. You're not going to the purple cow to get your clothes. Sorry. These are spiritual tailors that come in and we all are dressed the same in the clothing of the Spirit. That's what we are, because we're royalty, not because we've earned something. This is a 2022 that's been given to me and been given to you. We're not a retread. We're a new tire as such. When he calls Matthew to come and follow him, he didn't say, Matthew, come follow me. I have a financial integrity program I want you to go be a part of. Oh, Paul, when I call you, Saul of Tarsus, when I call you, there's Persecutors Anonymous that you need to go and participate in, overcome your... No, he doesn't do that. In fact, the change is so dramatic. Many times in the first century, they change their name. I'm not the same person. So much so, I don't even be called by my old name, because it reminds me of where I came from. I have a new name. This is my new name. Call me this. I'm Paul the Apostle, not Saul of Tarsus. So if we know God's in the replacing business, one thing he's not doing, though, he's not redesigning. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The pattern still stays the same. We see this in our text in Matthew 9. He talks about old wineskins and new wineskins. He talks about one garment and another garment. What that means is that God's not doing away with garments. When he gives something new, it's not like he's replacing an old garment with a rocket ship, something totally of a different category. When he makes me a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17, my name is still Mark LaCour. I'm not Pete Ticonderoga, somebody different. I'm Mark LaCour. That's who I am. But I'm new. There's something brand new that's been replaced. My status before God has been replaced. My heart has been replaced, as it says in Ezekiel 36. The design pattern stays the same. Christ is called the second Adam. You notice, second Adam. The design was, there's Adam, and all men are in Adam, and all men come in the world as sinners because of Adam. But now he's the second Adam, because we're in the second Adam. We're chosen. We're beloved by the Lord. But notice he's called it Adam. That's who he is. It follows that pattern. He's called the high priest. In Hebrews 4, a sympathetic high priest, not of the tribe of Levi, the order of Melchizedek. There's Levitical and there's Melchizedekian, right? Two, but there, notice, it's still a priesthood. And you still have to have a high priest before God. He's called a sacrifice. I'm just showing you things that are the same from the old covenant to the new. The terminology, the structures, the pattern, the form like that remains the same. What changes, and not just gets retreaded, gets replaced, is the content. So this is why disciples of John, why my disciples are not fasting. I'm with them. It's not the time and it's not the place. God's tabernacle and his presence, as it says in Hebrews 12, since we've come to this holy city. We haven't come to this city down here that you can put on a GPS and find in the Google Maps section. No, it's in the heavenlies. Even when John talks about the commandments in 1 John chapter 2, kind of like how he words it. You remember how he words it in 1 John 2? You can see him struggling with the replacement and the redesign issue. He says in chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you." Whoa. Okay, must be an old one. but an old commandment, which you've heard from the beginning. Uh-oh. Well, is this a retread? He says, the old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you. There's the replacement. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light has already shone. So what doesn't pass away? Commandment. What does pass away? Get replaced. As Christ says, it's my authority. I give you a new authority. When they're up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, they want to build three tabernacles to Jesus, to Moses, and Elijah. What happens when Peter puts forth that idea? He gets shut down in mid-sentence. Because it ain't going to happen. I'm not going to have three equal altars to three men up here. This is my beloved son. We're going to hear him. You're going to hear him. There's a new authority, new sheriff in town. Him. It's his authority. Now, he doesn't say Moses and Elijah are in hell or something, and you got to, you know, cast fire down from heaven on them. No. But they have been replaced. That 1975 gremlin, it served its purpose. But it's a 75 gremlin, and it's just not gonna go forward. I'm not working off of 75 gremlins anymore and bringing my people forward. You're going to drive a 2022 Chevy Impala six-cylinder special edition Platinum, or you're not going to drive at all. That's how it's going to work. Brand new, top of the line. No mileage on the odometer. And then even Jesus in John 13:34, he makes the statement. I love this passage here because it's a brand new notice. This the same kind of pattern that the Jews would follow in the sense of their motivation. Remember when God would say, you're to do something because remember, this is the God who delivered you from Egypt. Not in the new covenant. A new commandment I give to you. There's the authority. That you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The motivation is as Christ has loved you, not as I have delivered you from the Egyptian bondage. There's a new starting point on the motivation. There's a new authority, a sheriff in town. There's a new covenant, a new priesthood, a new tabernacle, a new presence. You have a new life, and everything with that has to go with that. So instead of maybe seeing a 2022 Impala, you know, you're going to be driving this souped up, high velocity 2024 Shelby or something that you look at and say, if I put my foot on that accelerator, I'm going to be in the stands. I don't know how to drive that exactly. I need to put a really good driver in there. That's why I'm changing you. I'm not just giving you a new car. I'm replacing you. While I'm not redesigning, changing your name, and all of a sudden I'm one of these, you know, invasion of the body snatchers. I'm not the same person or something. I am the same person. But something new has happened on the inside. I've been born again. And as such, I have a new life in me, a new perspective, a new priority. Everything's changed in me. I see things differently. I prioritize things differently. I don't define things like the world defines things anymore. I can't. It goes against my new nature. That holds closely to what God has written. They will call me religious, but that's what they call me because they have no category beside their old way of looking at me to say that's what I am. I'm religious, like the Hindus or the Buddhists. Or the Muslims. That's how they define me. That's all they can use is old 1975 gremlin language. Because they don't have a new life. But when you have new life, everything's new. Everything is brand spanking new. But the design's the same. It's still four wheels on the ground. Still called a car. You still need a steering wheel, and you still got to put your foot on the accelerator to make it go. So there's a lot of things that stays the same. There's a lot of things, think about it. God stays the same in the old covenant and the new. He doesn't change. He's immutable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it says in Hebrews 13. A lot of things remain the same. Sin in its evil remains the same. This lawlessness always has been, always will be. It's a falling short of the glory of God. That hasn't changed. men's depravity is the same. Same guy in the old, same guy in the new. If you're depraved, both of them are depraved. You're not less depraved under a new covenant. It's not, you don't have sinners out in the world, less sinners than the people living during the Romans or something like that. No, they both are depraved. A lot of things stay the same. And let me tell you what else stays the same. The judgment of God. Sure. And it's based upon works. Works. How are you going to produce works? But the things that have changed are replaced. God doesn't treat you like children anymore. He treats you like adult sons. And he's got nobody in his body who is a child anymore. You start acting like a child, wanting to get under the law in the sense of the elementary principles of the world, you'll get rebuked. This is what Paul and Barnabas were doing with these people in this. Say, well, they need to do this, and they need to follow this, and they need to keep this, and they need to do that, and avoid this, and this, and this, and whatever. And then you can be right with God. If you do this little, you know, grocery list of things, then God is going to like you. Someone comes preaching to you that, they're preaching to you a retread. Reject them. That's the false prophets we talked about 2 weeks ago in Matthew 7. God has no retreads. He doesn't refurbish. You know that. It's brand new or nothing. All or nothing when it comes to Jesus Christ. He's going to be our provider in all of these things. He doesn't restore. He replaces. And as saints, as sons of the living God, you're going to cry out, Abba, Father, to him. You're not going to be in his presence like they in the book of Exodus, where they couldn't even touch a mountain unless they would have to be put to death. Oh, no. Oh, no. You start treating God that way, you will be rebuked. But I really believe he's holy. Well, so do we. That's why we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. But once I'm clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that he freely gives away, like the 2022 car, by simply asking for it, I'm as holy as Jesus Christ. Now think of how that sounds. It almost sounds blasphemous. I'm as holy as God right now in my legal standing before God, because Jesus Christ is God. Are you serious? And think of all the religions that would come after me, tooth, fang, and claws, if making that kind of statement. You're as holy as God. Look, brother, I know about you. You're not as holy as God. I've seen your track record. Oh, look, I live in my shoes. I know my track record. But before God, I'm as holy as God. How can that be? Because that's what it means to have to be replaced. Something has been given to me, replaced. My legal status before God is that I'm in Jesus Christ, and he'll never reject his son. I'm holier than all the angels in heaven combined. Think about that. So are you. In Christ, because Christ is holier than all the creatures combined, whether in heaven or on earth. See, that doesn't quite register still. Once again, we're trying to get used to the new car smell here, because I'm just used to the old car smell. And boy, it was a doozy. But that's the whole point of what it means to be a Christian. It's believing in these truths, that these certain things have been replaced, and I can't go back and try to resurrect them. Certain things have not been replaced because they stay according to the design that God has. God still works off of a covenant. He still works off of a priesthood. He still works off of this whole idea of sin and atonement. He still works off the idea of family members. While they were a child in the old covenant under the law, they're a son. See, the family is still there, child and son. The design doesn't change. So I want to reemphasize this. If you remember anything about the message, that he replaces, but he doesn't redesign. The design stays the same. But if you mix up the two and think that, okay, he's not replacing over here, but he's doing this over here, and it becomes refurbishing, you're practicing religion. And you're not practicing what it means to be a Christian. All things are new. But before all things are new, old things have to be, what, done away. And the Holy Spirit, probably 9 times out of 10, is getting you to do away with things just as much as he's getting you to put on the new. Do away with the old. No, that's old. But Lord, I need. You keep praying for something that's a retread, and he's not going to listen to that. It goes against your status as a son. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You believe that? If you're a Christian, God is not mad at you at this moment. And you know something? You can't commit a mortal sin and get God mad at you. You can't sin your way out of the relationship. You have a 2022, ain't thing one you can do about it except drive it. And you're going to drive it. And you're going to drive it perfectly. He's going to make sure the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to walk according to his commands with his motivation. So if you're struggling with sin, and I've said this before, when you struggle with sin, as a general rule, it's because you struggle with grace. You struggle with the 2022. You have been so accustomed to driving the gremlin. You just can't see yourself in the 2022. And that's a lack of faith. That's a lack of faith, as Piper would call it, in future grace. That God is going to give you grace today. Not because he owes it to you. It wouldn't be grace if he owed it to you. Because he promises it to you. You now stand by grace before him. And you stand by grace at this moment. Can you lose that standing in the next moment? No. Yeah, but I bet I could sin that way. Yeah, sure. You could do that. But the real sin is that you can break a commandment. The real sin is that you believe a lie about God and yourself and who you really are. See, it's a hypocrite when you're really lost and you act like you're saved. But flip it around. If I'm saved and I act like I'm lost, that's a hypocrite too. You're play acting. We know who you are, Peter. You can't deny us that you were with that guy called Jesus. He tries 3 times, remember? It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna stick. It ain't gonna fall away. He cries. I mean, he goes and he weeps and he sees the error of his way and things of this sort, but that's not him anymore. He's brand new. And so are you. So God replaces. He doesn't refurbish. But he doesn't redesign. It's the same pattern from the get-go. So the questions we need to ask ourselves is, do we have a new heart? Well, what are you going to do about it? Ain't much you can do about it. From a human perspective, God has to do it. But then on the other hand, when God does do something, trust me, you know it. You find yourself doing all kinds of things. Just like a little baby. When they are born, they find themselves doing all kinds of stuff. Crying, wetting, pooping, hungering and thirsting. Signs of life are everywhere. But they don't do those things in order to live. That's just what it means to be alive. You see the evidences of being alive. But those things isn't the source of their life. God is, and Jesus Christ is. You're hearing his voice through me in his word. Is it resurrecting and regenerating anybody today? Are you born again today? You think about Mother's Day and what mothers they bore you. They were that person, that birthing person that brought you into existence. God didn't drop you out of heaven. He put you in someone's womb and they bore you and you were birthed. When you're born into the kingdom of God, it says in Galatians 4, the church is called our mother. You hear the truth about God because of the church. God uses that instrument. We don't have life. We don't make people born again, but he uses us, the womb of the church, to be able to teach the gospel, preach the gospel, tell you the errors of this and show you the path of that. And all of a sudden you see the light of that. I became a Christian because of some other Christian. See? You became a Christian because you read something or you heard something or you witnessed something that had to do with Christianity. That's part of the church. Welcome to Mother's Day. Spiritual Mother's Day for all of us. And God uses his people to birth the next generation of his people. So are you born again? You're here. You're right where you need to be. if you're going to hear God's truth amongst God's people, it might not be from me. It might be somebody you talk to casually one-on-one. And God uses those words and they go into your inner man and you can't get rid of them. And they're constantly speaking to you. You try to go to sleep and you can't because they're constantly, you know what he said. You know he's right. And you know you're not born again. You know this. You know that. And you need to repent. You need to, and it's, my gosh, I wish I would never heard that sermon. And it gets louder. God's on to you. That's what Robert Barnum would say. That's God's bloodhound, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to hunt you down and track you down. He's going to treat you like a coon, as he would say. And he's going to catch up with you. And when he catches up with you, you know what he's going to do? He's going to throw you into his lap and love you for all eternity and give you the adoption as sons. And you'll look up and you'll cry, Abba, Father. And you'll say, well, I was crazy not to want to worship this God. And he's going to open up Shangri-La and say, I've got all this wealth I want to give to you. All these glories of me I want to show you. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your tongue. There's all kind of tongues that are praising me right now, but I've made yours to praise me. And I want to hear it. Only Chris Dighton can praise God the way Chris Dighton praises God. God made Chris Dighton's tongue to praise God the way Chris Dighton praises God. I can't do it. Only Chris can do it that way. Picking on Chris here a little bit. And it's going to be the same for you. Either he's going to hear the anguish in hell or he's going to hear you praise him for all eternity. He's going to hear you for eternity. How? Why are you sitting here listening to this message? How did come God put you here to hear this? What's so special about you? Zip, you're a 75 gremlin. You don't have anything God wants. But God's here giving away. Kind of like, what was it? I'll close with this. What was that show that Oprah, what she used to do with her audience every now and then? She would give everybody cash prizes or something in those shows. Everybody was all, you know, ooh, because she was so rich and things like that. God is very, very gracious. And no one's going to top God in his grace. And if you're going to overcome sin, there's only one remedy God uses in his kingdom with brand new cars, people, and he uses grace. He doesn't use the rehab facilities of the world. Now, if you're lost and you're just trying to keep the car on the road and keep it out of the ditch and you want to stay lost, yeah, you need to go take drugs from the doctors. You need to get in that AA. You need to do all the steps and all this over here in the counseling and all that. I don't condemn those with people who are lost. People who are lost and that's what they want to do. I guess that's going to be the best thing you can do to keep yourself from shooting yourself. Maybe they'll keep you sane and maybe they'll drug you up or maybe they'll, you know, put the chains on you like the demoniac so you don't kill yourself or others. Okay. Yeah. You're not going to have a change of cars and not drive the 2022. Then yeah, that's what you're left with. Okay. But we don't offer that. The church never has. God has commissioned the church to preach the good news. And the Holy Spirit comes, like it says in Ezekiel 16, and sees you squirming in your blood or in your addiction and says, live. And partner, like those bones in that valley, up you come, and all of a sudden, you're alive. Here's my question. I'll leave it with you. Has that happened to you? Are you alive? Can't fake it till you make it. Nothing worse than a retread acting like they're a 2022. Anymore. We still can smell the smoke of the gremlin coming down the road when they go to church and they're acting as if they're a 2022 in power. Still the gremlin. How do you know there's difference? There's new life. You can't shut somebody up who has new life. You ever seen somebody who's won the lottery? If you have won the lottery and you sit here in this room, I'll know it within 10 minutes. You can't help it. They'll come out. Because it's a new life for you, new income and money and things of this sort. It's going to affect everything that you do and think. That's just money. But when God gives you his life, you're a different person. So if you're saying, you know, Lord, let me be honest. I just don't really see that change in me. Maybe because there hadn't been one. You're a nice person. I mean, you really wash that gremlin nice. And you got the gremlin shining as best as it can. You know, I mean, you even put the, you know, what is it? Stuff on the wheels and make them shine and stuff. But you're still a gremlin. Be honest with God. Ask him for his life. Ask him to give you a new life. That's the only thing he traffics in is the replacement business. It's not a redesign. It's still a car, so to say. But it's replaced. And we won't know you after that. You're a totally different person. You won't have to give your testimony. You know why? we will be, because we'll see you as Christ has made you. And boy, what a rejoicing that will be. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that comes and breathes life into us. That causes us, Father, to be saints with the same names as our brothers in the under the old covenant. Saints, children of God. Same Holy Spirit that would possess them possesses us. We thank you, Father, that you don't change in that sense. Things like this remain the same. But Father, you have replaced much, and you've caused us, Father, through your word, to be partakers of a new covenant with a new priest, with a new approach into your presence, that you will not be approached with the blood of bulls and goats. You will not be approached with the circumcision and the keeping of the law. You will not be addressed that way. As much as I can never call my father Mr. LaCour, although he was that, that would never serve my relationship to my dad. That I had to call him Abba. And that, Father, you will be addressed as such of endearment by your children. Things are new. Our sins are forgiven. And that, Father, where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. And that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and righteous to forgive us of our sins. We're asking, Father, you send your Holy Spirit even now. Breathe upon your elect. Cause them to be born again. Cause us, Father, even those of us who, as we say, drive the new car, would not listen to the lies of the evil one, that your seed abides in us. And our new natures will go on forever and live forever. Help us, Father, to not listen to those lies and sin against you. Help us to believe the truth, that left to ourselves, we will love and serve Jesus Christ. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you. For us in Christ's great name we pray. Amen.